This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome. You are listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Information on ordering tapes, CDs, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are pleased you have chosen to worship with us today and invite you to tune in every Sunday on this station.
Does the church where you worship affect your vision of life? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is with grateful hearts, Heavenly Father, that we enter into your house of worship. Be it in the comforts of our home or in the confines of our automobile. But grant, O God, that we may hear the gospel and that we may understand on this particular Sunday where we celebrate the freedom of our land, that we are free only when we are spiritually free. So, God, turn our hearts to you and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Friends in Christ. In his book, Life Beyond Measure, Sidney Poitier described the religious faith of his mother. He writes, "My mom had grown up in the Anglican Church and attended services every Sunday, where the priest talked about life through the vision of the church." It is the last part of that statement that attracted my attention. Life through the vision of the church. And I had to ask the question, does a church and the service that we worship at affect our vision of life? If so, there's a very important question that is asked to each one of us today. What religious group is influencing your understanding of life? And let's put that right down to one question that often is discussed. Are all people going to be saved? Now, I'm going to tell you a story that I don't want you to think is 100% true. What is true about it is the point that I'm trying to make. And it is pretty much surrounded with some of the details that I remember as a kid. There were four or five of us boys who often walked home from school together. We were good friends. And as we went home from the school, we would have kind of boy talk. We talked about sports, and we talked about fishing. There was a lot of good fishing back there in Maine. But I recall, now remember, I'm just pulling this. This is 75 years old. But from that conversation, there was an impression that left me so that I recall it yet today. As we passed the house, there was a crepe, I think that's what they call it, a crepe. It was some flowers that the funeral home had placed on a doorpost of a family who had recently lost a loved one. And as we passed that house, somebody in the group said, "Who lived there? Whoever it is died. His body's inside." That was a custom back there. I don't know if we had it here in the Midwest in those days, but in New England, oftentimes they brought the corpse back into the home, and there it was in state until the funeral service. That led then to a question that went something like this: well, where is he now? I remember one young man, and the details of this I am not clear about, but he answered something like this: well, he's in heaven. And that boy, I do know, this is a fact, was a member of the Universalist Church. Universalism was very common in New England. I believe that it had its start there, as far as America is concerned, in the 16th or 17th century. And there were some rather large Universalist churches. I had many friends who were Universalists. And their basic doctrine was that all people are saved. It doesn't matter. God is a God of love, and all people are saved. I recall that in our group there was a Catholic boy, and he didn't agree with that. Before that boy could go to heaven, he first had to go through purgatory. And not to be outdone, I got my Lutheran witness in there. I said, no, the man's body, or woman's body, whatever it was, who has died is right there in that casket inside the house. But the soul has gone to heaven. And the body is going to go out to the cemetery pretty soon. But one day when Jesus comes again, There's going to be a new body. There'll be the resurrection of the old body. We don't understand it. But there'll be a new body, and the soul will have inhabited it. When we're going through this great discussion, and I talked about, when I talked about going to heaven, that was only if the person believed in Jesus. In this great discussion, the unchurched boy said, "Man, am I glad that my father and mother have taught me what they did. That when we live and die, that is the end of us. We die just like any other animal." That young boy never went to church, nor did his family. Well, from that sketchy story that happened 75 years ago, the conversation continues to go on. Are all people saved? Are all people going to go to heaven? I am more concerned about what Jesus has to say about it. How does Jesus affect my vision of life now and in the hereafter? We have some great Bible passages, and let's go to the most familiar one, and this is my text for today. Well, once again, many of you have memorized this. We read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting." Now, you notice we're going to divide that into two parts, John 3:16a. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God loves us. And when we sinned and fell out of relationship with him, he sends his Son into the world. And Jesus, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, paid the price for our sins. And if you and I receive Jesus Christ and trust him as our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven, and we will spend eternity in heaven. Now, those are the words of our Lord. That isn't looking at eternity or getting your vision of life and life after death from a particular church. It is getting it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For Jesus goes on to say in John 3:16b that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. While God has prepared eternity, a home in heaven for everyone, only those who have received Jesus Christ will inherit that heavenly home. That is the message of the New Testament. That is a message that many of us have been raised with. This is the message that has affected our vision of life. So that if we really believe that, we know that when we die, there is a home for us in heaven. Because of what Christ did, and because we have received him as Savior and Lord. We take very seriously what St. Paul wrote to Timothy. God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It isn't that he wants a single one of us discarded. But our salvation is based on what Christ has done and our receiving of his sacrificial suffering in death as a sacrifice for our sin. Remember that story in Luke 19? First 10 verses, I think it is. It's a story of the rich man who died and went to hell, not because he was rich, but because he didn't trust Christ. And then there was Lazarus, who was a poor man. He trusted Christ, and he died, and he went to heaven. And there the rich man is in Hades, crying out for mercy and for help, and pleading with the Father to let Lazarus go and tell his brothers and sisters so that they did not have to come to this place of torment. I remember that story. I heard it again and again in my Sunday school. I'd like to ask you today, is that something that affects your vision on life? Well, it did mine. Or was that just a biblical fairy tale that was good for us kids when we were 8, 9, 10, 12, even 15 years of age, but now when we're 83 and 84 or whatever it may be, you realize it's a fairy tale? No, I don't realize it's a fairy tale. It's a part of God's inspired word. And what it is teaching is simply this, that there is a separation after death of those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who do not. Not all people are saved according to the message that Jesus taught and gives you a vision of life if you trust him. Now, in my sermon last Sunday, I mentioned that an entirely different gospel has entered into many mainline churches. It has been couched in traditional Christian language, but otherwise has borne little resemblance to the gospel that has been sent down to us through the ages. And in this different gospel, there is one component part. And that component part says that God is love, and that's true, but he is only love, and that's false. In this new theology, there is no reference of a God who has wrath, judgment, condemnation for sinners. It is only a God who has forgiveness, and thank God he is a God of forgiveness. But that's not the whole story. So when you say you've got a God who is a God of love, and only a God of love, that is universalism. And whatever they taught in the Universalist Church and are teaching today, that of course is their right as a part of our free society. But it is not what Jesus has taught. And what we're talking about here in a Christian radio program is that God hates sin. And so he came to die that we may have it taken away from us. But if we die out of a relationship with Christ, we are lost. Remember when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' home in Jericho and led him to a different life? Led him to faith in Christ? What was it that Jesus said to the masses of people who were assembled outside the day after? Salvation has come to this man's house. For the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Pretty serious business, people. For here you have the mission of the church. If you don't have that mission, you've got to find a new mission. And as we mentioned last week in the sermon, that is not proclaiming God's justification of the ungodly because of the gospel. For everybody is supposed to be saved in this gospel of universalism. So what are you going to do? Are you going to find a new mission? And that is for the church to become involved in the social issues. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in the social issues, but I'm saying that is not the primary message of the church. It gives your congregation a whole new vision. You don't have to go out and plead and beg with men and women to come and hear the gospel that they might be saved. No. When you view the future, influenced by the teaching of Jesus Christ, you can only come up with this, that there is a life after death, and God wants everyone there, but only those who trust in Jesus we'll get there. Looking at life through Jesus Christ, you see this to be true. It does not appear to be an appealing theology, We'd far rather say that all people are saved. That makes us much more comfortable. But just remember this. It is a teaching of Jesus Christ. For listen once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the first part. That's what God has done. That's his grace. That's his love. But here's a second, and that's inspired too, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's word. Amen.
The storm clouds gather far across the sea. Let us pledge allegiance to the land that's free. Let us all be so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with hope.
Father in heaven, as we continue to celebrate this Independence Day weekend, we thank you for the gospel that frees us up from all guilt, and the gospel that tells us that in Jesus Christ, we are his forever. God, we pray that that gospel that has had such a tremendous effect upon the United States of America may be heard continually Sunday after Sunday in our churches. Grant, O God, that we may embrace our people with your love. But grant, O God, that we may not be so foolish that we try to make them believe that you are love and only love. For we know that you are a God of righteousness. So cause us to be grateful for what you have given to us in Jesus Christ, but also help us to be faithful to this message. Bless our individual witnesses and the witness of our church for the good of your kingdom and for the blessing of America. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will provide strength to you in the coming week. Many listeners have chosen to support our ministry with an estate gift. If you feel strongly in the mission of Christian Crusaders and would like the work of this ministry to continue for years to come, please consider a charitable donation. By including Christian Crusaders in your will, you can continue your Christian worship even after your death. Call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH for more information. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you know someone who would enjoy Christian Crusaders, please tell them about our ministry. With your help, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. For a cassette, CD, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You may also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, Reverend Dr. Homer Lyson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.